Hello, Saints. Good to be back with you again this fine autumn day. Let's go to the Lord. Father God, I come to you today and ask for your blessings upon us. And I thank you, Lord, that this study would be a good blessing to everybody out there about how to pray and how to use God's word in our prayers. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Well, that's exactly what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about our prayer life. You know, learning how to pray effectively is one of the most important things a believer can ever do in his Christian walk. You know, really, a believer cannot be a success in fulfilling God's purpose in his life if he doesn't know how to pray according to biblical principles. A believer's prayer life should be based and built upon the Word of God. And today I'd like to discuss the many principles of prayer that are found in the Word of God. And as you study these principles of prayer, determine to get them into your heart so you can practice them in your own private prayer life. And in this study, we're going to look at steps that any believer can take in order to receive the answer to his prayer. And if a person will faithfully practice the following steps in prayer, I can assure you, you'll have an answer every time. And first thing is to be specific and stand on God's promises. You need to decide what you want from God and find the scripture or scriptures that definitely promise you these things. Too many times we are indefinite in our prayer. You know, I'd rather folks pray 2 or 3 minutes and know what they're praying about than to pray for 2 or 3 hours and not know what they're praying about. Sometimes when I ask people what they're praying about, they answer that they don't know. I asked one person once what he was praying about, and he said he was praying just to be praying. Now, I realize there's one kind of prayer whereby we pray to have fellowship with God. But I'm talking about praying to God specifically in order to receive an answer to prayer. And if we're not careful, the first kind of praying I talked about, praying to have fellowship with God, will spill over into the realm of praying specifically in order to get an answer. One time I had a person ask me to pray for him, and I asked him what he wanted me to pray for, and he said he didn't know. Now, if you went to a grocery store and you pushed your cart up and down the aisles but didn't buy anything, people are going to think that there's something wrong with you. But on the other hand, if someone went to the store to buy a few things and he bought just those things, you wouldn't think anything was wrong, would you? In fact, you could say he was being definite in what he was doing. In the same way, decide what you want from God and be definite about it. Then find scriptures from the Word that promise you whatever it is that you want. Be specific in your praying. Too few Christians realize the importance of the Word of God in prayer. And we know that faith begins where the will of God is known. And we know that God's Word is His will. So find scriptures that definitely promise the things you're asking for. And if the scriptures don't promise you the things that you are desiring, you don't have any business praying for those things. And you shouldn't want anything that the Word of God says you shouldn't have. Many believers are trying to pray beyond their faith, but it's the Word of God that gives you faith. And the reason many people are not praying with confidence and faith is that they're not finding scripture that proves that God wants them to have those things that they are desiring. They don't know for sure if it's God's will or not. They may hope it is, but they can't know for sure because faith begins where the will or the Word of God is known. Once you find the scriptures that promise you what you desire from God, get those scriptures firmly fixed in your heart, not just in your mind, get it in your heart too. And to do that, you'll have to meditate on the Word of God. Joshua 1:8 says this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And another translation says, that thou mayest be able to deal wisely in the affairs of life. Success in life comes by meditating on God's Word. That's the way you'll build God's Word into your inner consciousness, into your spirit. And as you feed upon the Word by meditating, you'll be ready to use those scriptures against demons who will try to make you doubt God, and who will try to rob you of what you want. Folks, it's the devil who tries to make you doubt God. So many times, people who have not known the Word have prayed. And if they did not get the answer when they thought they ought to, they said, well, it must not be the will of God. But all the time, the promises of God were there for them to appropriate. If whatever you're praying about is in the Word, then it's the will of God. I remember one time a woman had many others pray for her and for her son who was afflicted with a certain sickness. But when he didn't get better, she concluded that it just wasn't God's will for her son to be healed. He didn't have any scripture ready to use against the devil. She didn't, because she wasn't standing on the Word. She didn't have the Word hidden in her heart. Psalms 119:11 says, thy Word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, to tell the truth about it, the devil told her that it wasn't the will of God for her son to be healed, and she believed him. Unconsciously, she made the Bible out to be a lie, and Jesus to be unjust, because the Bible clearly tells us healing is part of our redemption. We need to use the sword of the Spirit against the enemy. And who's the enemy? That's the devil. And when you get that Word firmly fixed in your heart and mind, you can use it against the devil. When Jesus was tempted by the devil to turn the stones into bread, Jesus just answered with the Word. He said, it is written, Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4. Then the Bible says Satan took Jesus upon a pinnacle of the temple and tempted Jesus again, Matthew 4:7-11. Jesus said unto him, again it is written, thou shalt not make trial of the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him unto an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Jesus didn't use a single weapon to defeat the devil on this occasion that the saints of God don't have available to them today. When you're being tempted by the enemy, all you got to say is, it's written, Satan, and use the Word of God against Satan. But in order to be able to say that and to resist the devil effectively, you have to be armed with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In other words, you have to hide God's Word in your heart by meditating on it continually in order for it to work for you. Then you're going to be able to withstand the attacks of the enemy. Then we need to fight the good fight of faith. You know, it takes a little time sometimes to build the Word into your spirit so you can stand in faith for an answer to prayer. The Bible says fight the good fight of faith in 1 Timothy 6:12. If there weren't any hindrances to faith, there wouldn't be a fight, would there? When it comes to the natural things, people will fight tooth and toenail for what belongs to them. But when it comes to spiritual things, many times they just roll over and play dead. Well, if God's Word says something belongs to you, then it belongs to you. So put up a fight by standing your ground on God's Word. If God didn't intend for you to have what He promised you, then He wouldn't have promised it to you. But it's up to you to fight the good fight of faith with the word and receive your promised blessing and all that God has promised you. When it comes to natural things, people's going to stand up for what belongs to them. But when it comes to spiritual things and receiving healing or the blessings and benefits of God that belong to us, many believers don't stand their ground with the word of God. Some think they are being humbled by saying, well, the will of God be done, when really it is the will of Satan that's being done. You see, there's a good fight of faith that the believer must fight in order to appropriate and receive his promised blessing, his rightful inheritance in Christ. And in order to fight the good fight of faith, you must learn how to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Fighting the good fight of faith is speaking the word out of your mouth that you believe in your heart or your spirit. That's why it's important to hide the word of God in your heart and be ready to use scripture against demons when they try to attack you and try to make you doubt God's word. And always be ready to say to Satan, it's written, Satan, and to quote God's word, which is God's will about that situation. There will be many who will side in with the devil and believe his lies over God's word. There are also folks who in the natural will unconsciously side in with the devil to try to discourage you in spiritual things, in your faith. But you need to stand your ground on God's word if the enemy attacks you in spirit, soul, or body. You know, people sometimes got the silliest things about these things. They say, for example, that it is the will of God for people to be sick. But that contradicts God's word. If it were God's will for people to be sick, then it would not be God's will for people to go to doctors. Because doctors are fighting sickness and disease too, right? And also, if it is the will of God for people to be sick, then why not pray for others to become sick? So they can enjoy the same blessing of sickness and disease and be in God's will. Come on, people, give us a break. When you have the foundation of God's word under you, you can stand your ground against Satan attacks. And you must ask God for what you want. Now, we talked about the first step to receiving answered prayer. Step one is to decide what you want from God and find scriptures that promise you the things you desire. The next step to receiving answered prayer is to ask God for the things you want and believe that you received them. And then certainly the Lord knows what we need even before we ask. But he still said for us to ask him. The Bible says, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, Matthew 6:32. But he also tells you to ask for what you need. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full, John 16:24. And to say that you're leaving it up to God and that you know he will automatically do whatever is best is unscriptural. Because Jesus himself said we are to ask God for what we need. John 16:23-24. And in that day you shall ask me no questions. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you shall ask anything of the Father, he will give it you in my name. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full. Matthew 16:23-24. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art a stumbling block unto me, for thou mindest not the things of God, but the things of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Then Matthew 7:7-8. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Then Mark 11:23-24. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith come to pass, he shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them and you shall have them. So we need to ask God for the things that we want and need and then believe that you have received them. In other words, when you pray, believe you received what you asked for. You know, I love a challenge. In Mark 11:24 challenges me. It says, in effect, believe you received right then when you pray. The Amplified Bible says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. You got to believe you got your answer before you get it. Now, excuse me, sense knowledge versus revelation truth. Believe God and not Satan. Satan will tell you that you don't have the answer to your prayer. Satan operates in the sense realm, in the flesh realm. Satan is operating as the god of this world. It says that in 2 Corinthians 4:4. You'll never get anywhere spiritually until you realize there are two kinds of truth. There's sense knowledge truth and revelation truth, which is the truth of God's word. Some people think truth pertains to things they can see with their physical eye. But you can't see the things of the spirit. Spiritual things are not natural and they are not material. Everything we need is provided for us in the spiritual realm by God's word. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. His scripture means that everything we need has been provided for all of us in Christ Jesus. You can't see those things, but they're there because God's word says they're there. And there is sense knowledge truth, or flesh knowledge truth, and there is revelation truth. When sense knowledge truth contradicts revelation truth, the truth of God's word, then I start walking by revelation truth. I walk by what God has said in his word. That which is in the spiritual realm is made real in the natural realm through my faith in the word of God. My faith grasps it and creates the reality of it in my life. Romans 4:17. By the way, that's quantum faith also. So when you pray, believe that you receive whatever it is you are praying for and you shall have it. That's beyond natural thinking. In fact, the natural mind can't grasp it. And the majority of the leaders of our churches today are sense knowledge people. Sense knowledge has taken the church captive. We're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7 said. So we need to believe the truth and not a lie, don't we? Romans 3:4 says, God forbid, yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment. And all you have to do is ask God for the things you need and want that his word has promised and believe you received him when you ask for them. Then you will have whatever it is that you need from God. And some people continually ask us why God won't heal them after they have had many people pray for them and have had no results. And a lot of times you have to ask them if they ever acted as though the word is so. People have to act like the scriptures are true. And if you don't act like the word is true, they're walking by what their senses are telling them and not what the Bible says. That's what's throwing them off. They're missing the faith realm entirely, which is based on what the word says and not on what they see or feel. And we need to be positive in our thinking. So step number 3 to receive answered prayer is to let every thought and desire agree that you have what you ask for. After you pray in faith according to God's word, never permit a mental picture of failure to remain in your mind. Now, I'm talking about receiving answers to prayer. Once you've prayed and asked God for something, never doubt for 1 minute that you don't have the answer. If doubts persist, rebuke them. Get your mind on the answer. To get your mind on the answer, you'll have to get your mind on the Word of God. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you, James 4 and 7 says. Then 1 Peter 5 and 8 said, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And we need to resist doubt also, because doubt is from the devil. You have to resist doubts and rebuke them. You have to get your mind on the answer, on God's word. And in order to receive answers to your prayers, you have to eradicate every image, every suggestion, every vision, dream, impression, and feeling, and all thoughts that don't contribute to your faith and don't affirm that you have what you ask God for. And that word eradicate means to uproot or remove. Get it out of there. Remember, Satan moves in the sense realm, in the natural realm, and he uses the tool of suggestion. Some people think that every kind of vision, dream, impression, or feeling they have is from God, but that ain't true. We need to reject anything that contradicts the word. Now, Satan can move in the supernatural realm too, because he is a spiritual being, as is God. You've got to be able to know whether a vision, a dream, impression, or suggestion is from God or Satan. Those suggestions that don't line up with the word of God are of the devil. Matthew 8 and 17 says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our infirmities. Hebrews 1 and chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God having of old time spoken unto the fathers in the prophets by divers portions and in divers manners hath at the end of these days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Jesus is God speaking to us, because Jesus is the Word of God. He is the Word made flesh, it says in John 1, 15 and 14. And if you want to see God at work, look at Jesus. Jesus was the will of God in action while Jesus was on the earth. The Bible says Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil in Acts 38. In other words, if Jesus appeared to you in a vision and said that it wasn't his will to heal you, he'd be making himself out to be a liar, wouldn't he? Could it be his will for you to have what he bore for you? No, of course not. Jesus bore your sicknesses. He bore your diseases so you wouldn't have to bear them. God doesn't propagate doubt and unbelief. Every image, suggestion, vision, dream, impression, feeling, and all thoughts that do not contribute to your believing that you have what you have asked for should be completely cast down and eradicated. They should be replaced with God's word. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they're mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. God's word says that you got your answer. If you based your petition on the word and believed you received it when you prayed, you got it. When you believe you received your answer before you see it manifested, what you're doing is appropriating God's word by faith. And it's that kind of faith that moves God. So many times people say that they feel like God heard them when they prayed. Now, a lot of times those people are in for a fall the minute they say that. When I pray, I say I know God heard me. I say I believe I have my answer because the word says I do, not because I feel anything. Mark 11, 24. God's word is so whether I feel like it or not. Faith confession creates reality. So stand your ground and refuse to be defeated. Step number 4, guard your mind. The next step to receiving answer prayer is guard against every evil thought that comes into your mind to try to make you doubt God's word. Thoughts are governed by observation, association, and teaching. So this step is closely associated with step number 3. The Bible says we are to cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians 10:5. That's why you ought to stay away from all places and things that don't support your affirmation that God has answered your prayer. Your thoughts are governed and affected by observations, associations, and teachings. That means that sometimes you'll have to stay away from the kind of churches that can put more unbelief in you than anything else. And also be sure to enjoy fellowship with those who contribute to your faith. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. The Bible tells us in Philippians exactly what to think on. A lot of, too many people are thinking on the wrong things, and they're defeated in life as a result. But if you will guard against every evil thought, I think only on those things which affirm that God has heard and answered your prayers, you'll be cooperating with God in faith. You'll have to guard your mind in order to develop in faith. And as you stand your ground firm in faith, your faith will see you through to victory. Then step number 5, meditate on God's promises. Meditate constantly on the promises upon which you based the answer to your prayer. In other words, you must see yourself in possession of what you've asked for and make plans accordingly as if it were already a reality. Proverbs 4:20-22, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. God said this. He said, my son, attend to my words. Proverbs 4:20. God will make his word good in your life if you'll act on it. And if it's healing you need, for instance, God's word says in Matthew 8:17, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Then Isaiah 53:5, with his stripes we are healed. And if you don't see yourself healed, then the word of God has departed from your eyes. You need to see yourself with your answer. And reading the Bible will restore your mind and will uplift and refresh your spirit. I'm interested in what the Bible says. If God's word says he hears and answers prayers, and if that word doesn't depart from before our eyes, then you're going to see yourself with the things that you ask for. If you don't see yourself with the things you desire, then God's word has departed from before your eyes. And if you don't stand by the word, although God wants to stand by you, he can't, because the only way God works is through his word. Remember, God only works and moves in line with his word. He has bound himself by his word. He has magnified his word above his name. Psalms 138:2. If you stand by the word, God will stand by you and will make his word good in your life. But if you don't stand on God's word, then he has nothing to make good in your life. Too many folks pray and pray and pray, but they don't pray according to the word of God. But John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Jesus didn't just say, if you abide in me, you shall ask what you will. He also said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. John 15:7. With God's word abiding in us, we have a good foundation to stand on. People sometimes begin to see themselves dead. You got to see themselves. You got to get them to see themselves with what God has provided for them. You have to see yourself with what you've been asked for. Then we got step 6, continually thanking God for the answer. Now step number 6 to receiving answer prayer is in your every waking moment, think on the greatness of God and His goodness and count your blessings, and that will increase your faith. Lift your heart to God continually in increasing praise and gratitude for what He has done and for what He is doing for you right now. Philippians 4:6, it says this, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. That phrase, in nothing be anxious, it also means do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. And that's out of the Amplified in Philippians 4:6. And as long as you fret and have anxiety, all the praying and fasting in the world ain't going to do any good. And the rest of Philippians 4:6 says, with thanksgiving. Listen, when you pray and make your request known to God, then you have to thank Him for the answer. We are to pray with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, that you have given me what I've asked for. And the scripture says, don't fret or have any anxiety about anything. Philippians 4:6. And that's the Amplified version. Anything means anything, don't it? So, therefore, you can let your request be known with thanksgiving because you know God's going to hear you. And when I come across situations that seem impossible, I just say that all things are possible to him that believes, Mark 9:23, that I'm a believer. Sometimes the devil will tempt us and thoughts that try to hinder our belief. But we have the word to stand on, and because God's word is true, I thank God for my answer before I ever see it come to pass. Glory be to God. And then step number 7. Make every prayer a statement of faith. Step number 7 to receiving answer prayer is to make every prayer relative to what you've asked a statement of faith instead of unbelief. You can think and say words of faith just as easily as you can think and say words of doubt and unbelief. It's thinking faith thoughts and speaking faith words that leads the heart out of defeat and into victory. When you speaking about the prayer of faith, Andrew Murray said, it's not good taste to ask God for the same thing over and over again. He also said that if what you prayed for hasn't materialized and you do pray again, don't pray for it again in the same way because that would be unbelief. He said to remind God that you asked for it and remind him of what his word says and put him in remembrance of his promises. Isaiah 43:26. Tell him that you're expecting him and thank him for it. So we don't want to undo our prayers, do we? A lot of times people do undo their prayers. They get into unbelief and just stay there. And it's as if they are spinning their wheels in prayer. They need to get into faith and stay there. They may have to stand their ground for a period of time, but if they stay in their arena of faith, that answer will come. And a lot of times, too many times, we're cheated out of the blessings God wants us to have in life because we're not cooperating with Him. And we need to use the faith that we have. Romans 12:3 says, for I say, through the grace that was given me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith. God has dealt to each man the measure of faith. Therefore, every believer can receive answers to his prayers. If you say you don't have faith, then you're making God out to be a liar. You do have faith. Every man has faith if he's saved. But it's thinking faith thoughts and speaking faith words that lead the heart out of defeat into victory. In other words, you need to use the faith you have in order for your faith to be effectual. Listen, we need to follow these steps to answer prayer and expect to receive answers to your prayer. Don't accept no for an answer, and don't be denied. It's your family right in Christ, your redemptive right, your gospel right, and your right as a recreated blood-bought child of God to have what God has promised you. And by faith, appropriate what belongs to you, and it'll come. It's yours now by faith, so accept God's word and believe it, and it will become a reality in your life. Now, praying in Jesus' name, this is important. Jesus is our mediator. He's our intercessor. He's our advocate and our Lord. He stands between us and the Father. And no place in the Bible is it recorded that Jesus told his disciples to pray to him. They were always to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And if we wish to be sure of reaching the throne of God with our prayers, we have to come to God according to the rules laid down in his word. John 16:23-24 says this, "In that day you shall ask me no question. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you shall ask anything of the Father, he will give it you in my name. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full." And I want you to notice what Jesus said. He said, "In that day you shall ask me no question." Jesus said this just before he died and rose again to sit at the right hand of the Father on our behalf. Jesus also said, "If you shall ask anything of the Father, he will give it you in my name." Jesus was talking about his mediatorial position at the right hand of the Father, where he would soon ascend and be seated. Jesus said we're supposed to ask the Father in his name. There isn't any other way to approach God. Certainly we can worship Jesus, and worship is a type of prayer, and we can tell Jesus how much we love and appreciate him. But when it comes to praying and asking, we must ask the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:14-15 also tells us that, "For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named," from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We are to bow our knees to our Heavenly Father in prayer using the name of Jesus. It's not as important which church you belong to as it is which family you belong to. Praise God, believers are in the family of God, and we can approach the Father God, in prayer in the name of Jesus. Now, many people know about praying to God, but they don't know anything about praying to the Father. In other words, when they're praying, they don't sound as if they really know God as Father. He's God to the world. But he's Father to me, glory be to God. And there's real joy in knowing that the Father will answer our prayers. And we need to ask that our joy may be full. You know, I read about Smith Wigglesworth. He told of an incident which happened when he first started preaching. His wife at that time was really the preacher. He was a plumber. In fact, Wigglesworth put plumbing in a lot of the houses in England, which in that day had never had plumbing. Wigglesworth said that one day he was working installing plumbing in a certain home for people of some nobility. He noticed the lady of the house would come time after time to the door where he was working and stand looking at him. She would look, then go away, and come back and look again at him. He couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. After a while, he needed some more material, so he sent his apprentice back to the shop to get it. And when the helper left, the woman came into the room where Wigglesworth was working, and she shut the door. And he couldn't figure out what in the world was going on. And she finally asked Wigglesworth what that wonderful light was on his face. Now, at that time, Wigglesworth was a plumber. It wasn't until later that he became a preacher. Wigglesworth was full of light because he was full of joy. You don't have to be a preacher to be full of joy. The word will work for you, whoever you are. Now, Wigglesworth proceeded to tell that woman an incident that had occurred at breakfast time that morning. He said that when he had come down for breakfast that morning, he sat down at the table and his wife told him that two of their children were sick and not even able to get out of bed. The illness had come upon them during the night, and before Wigglesworth even gave thanks for his food, he got up from the table, went upstairs with his wife, and they laid hands on the two children and prayed. The children were both instantly healed. They had contracted a children's sickness that usually lasted for several days, but it left them instantly when Wigglesworth and his wife prayed for them. You know, we make a mistake by accepting sickness and adverse circumstances in our lives, John 10:10 tells us. I've done it before because I didn't know any better, but I've since learned better, and I learned what the Word said. We make a mistake by accepting such things which are not from God. So Wigglesworth's joy was full, and that joy was evident to those around him. God had healed his children and had answered his prayer. The children had gotten out of bed, had come to the breakfast healed. And that was the reason for this wonderful light on Wigglesworth's face. There is a joy that comes when you get answers to prayer. But if you're not getting answers to prayer, if you're not getting results, then there can be a lack or a look of confusion and trouble on your countenance. There's an air of doubt. There's an air of confusion and fear about you. And you've got the attitude, well, I'm uncertain. I don't know. But you can know God hears you when you pray according to His Word. And your joy can be full even before you see the answer, because you're resting on the integrity of God's Word. And there's no joy in all the world like seeing God moving in your family and in your home, answering your prayers. In John 16:23, Jesus is talking about individual prayer, not corporate prayer. He said in John 16:24, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full. Whatsoever you shall ask." Jesus is talking about something that concerns you. Jesus said, "Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full." And this woman asked Wigglesworth if she could have that joy too. He told her, sure, that she could, but she would have to get saved. She wanted to get saved and to know Jesus. She said they had a prayer book in the house, but they'd never known anything about the new birth or about the wonderful joy that comes from having your prayers answered. Right there in that room, Wigglesworth led this woman to the Lord, and light broke through her spirit, and she was born again, glory to God. She became happy and full of joy because the burden of sin had gone away. And she asked Wigglesworth if she would be able to keep this new joy and have it every day. He assured her that she could, but that the best way to keep it is to give it away. He told her to tell everyone she came in contact with about her salvation. Wigglesworth had been working there long enough to know that she had many lady friends in social clubs. She was a woman of wealth. He told her that at the club meeting she was to have that afternoon, she should tell all the women present about what had happened to her. And the reason many a Christian life becomes stagnant is there's no giving away. Many Christians don't share what they have received from the Word with others. Christians can increase their joy by witnessing about the Lord's goodness in their own lives. There's no joy in all the world like leading a poor lost soul to Christ. Glory to God. So if you're not doing that, remember, the way to keep your joy is to give it away. Jesus wants our joy to be full or complete. And we know that one way to ensure continual joy is to give our joy away. And Jesus also told us in John chapter 16 that we could have fullness of joy by asking the Father in Jesus' name and by receiving whatever we ask for in prayer. Now have joy before the answer comes. On another occasion, I was reading about Smith Wigglesworth, and he was telling about a time in his life when he was facing dire financial needs. He was visiting in London in the home of a very, very wealthy man. And as the story goes, if Wigglesworth had even hinted of his financial needs, that wealthy man would have given him all the money he needed. But Wigglesworth didn't tell anyone but the Lord about his need. As Wigglesworth and the wealthy man were walking in the park, Wigglesworth was happy and singing because he had cast all the care and the burden of his need upon the Lord, like it says in 1 Peter 5 and 7. Therefore, Wigglesworth didn't have a care. The wealthy man wasn't in the same happy mood. He told Wigglesworth that he would give all he owned just to have the spirit of joy that Wigglesworth had. Wigglesworth told him that that joy wouldn't cost him a nickel. All he had to do was cast all his cares on Jesus. And Wigglesworth told the man that he himself didn't have a care in the world. Although, at that very moment, Wigglesworth was in great financial need. But Wigglesworth didn't tell the man that of his needs because Wigglesworth had cast his cares upon the Lord. Now, the Lord had Wigglesworth's burden, and Wigglesworth was free and happy. If Wigglesworth would have even hinted to his friend that he had some kind of a need, that man would have helped him. But Wigglesworth didn't mention it. A lot of times, we've been around folks and where we've had great financial needs, but I don't reveal it in any way. I just smile because I was happy and free. I had cast all of my cares over on the Lord. Because God's word is true, folks. And worry blocks God's answer to your prayers. Our text says this, ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. God wants us to receive answers to our prayers and be full of joy. How can we be full of joy and victory when the circumstances look dark and we have the needs in our lives? We're full of joy because we walk by faith and not by sight. And we know that whatever we ask of the Father according to the Word, He's going to give it to us, that our joy may be full. Could your joy be full if you had great financial burdens pressing upon you? If you had bills to be paid and couldn't pay them? No, your joy couldn't be full then. However, once you've asked the Father to meet your need in Jesus' name, sometimes you need to have joy before you ever see the money you ask for. You have to be just as joyous before you see the answer as you are once the answer materializes. You'll block or hinder God from helping you if you're worrying and trying to figure out how the answer is going to come. And if you're trying to figure things out, then you have the care or burden of the problem, and that means God doesn't have it. You're still carrying that load, and God can't help you. And we need to realize this fact. It does very little good, if any, to pray if you're going to continue to worry and fret and wrestle with the problem yourself. You might as well say amen because it's so. John 16:24 says, ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. When you pray in faith according to God's word, You are full of joy and rejoicing even before the answer materializes, because you know God heard you. You've got His word for it. 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the boldness which we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions which we have asked of Him. Praise God forevermore. So people, take these steps seriously, and I guarantee you, you'll have a wonderful prayer life and get answers every time you pray. God bless you. We'll see you next time, God willing.